May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this day. Amen. I want to talk about a phrase from the Old Testament reading today. Let us bow our heads and pray as we consider the Word of God. Lord, Your Word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Cause it to penetrate our hearts, our minds, for faith, understanding, repentance. Bless the preaching and hearing of the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What did Jesus look like? As a pastor for a number of years, I've been asked that question a lot over the years. Pastor, what did Jesus look like? And what is the answer? We don't know what Jesus looked like. Was he tall? Was he short? We don't know. Was he slender, stocky? We don't know. Was he handsome? Was he ugly? We really don't know. We don't know really anything about Jesus' face, his appearance. When Jesus walked around, did he kind of have a frown, a penetrating frown, or did he smile a lot? We don't know. I like to think he smiled a lot. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Father was in him. Did he always have a serious, concerned look for people? Was he more carefree and kind of worry-free? We don't know. Did he have big eyes, big ears, little ears, big nose, little nose? We don't know these things. But in Isaiah 50 here, tucked away in this wonderful little prophecy about Christ, we have a hint at his face. What do you visualize when you think of Jesus' face? We have here a little hint of what his face looked like, and it struck me. I want to talk about it today. As the Lord is speaking through Isaiah, he says, "Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." What's he look like? What's his face look like? He sets his face like flint. What's it mean? I suggest today it has a lot of meaning as we consider the ministry of Jesus. He sets his face like flint, and he continues as the risen Son of God to set his face like flint. He never changes. What's this mean? Let me share with you three things today. This is talking about his focus. It's talking about a fight, and it's talking about a fire he will create. All packed into this little bitty phrase, "I have set my face like flint." There's so much in what the Word of God said. First of all, when Christ says, "I've set my face like flint," he is talking about his focus in his ministry. When he lived on this earth and even now, his determination, his unwavering, unrelenting focus and determination to do what? To save us. To save sinners. That's his whole purpose. And no one will distract him. No one will deter him. No one will stop him. He has a hardened face, a stubborn face. It is set like a hard rock, like flint, to save people. And no one will change his mind. No one will make him turn his face somewhere else or turn his eyes somewhere else. He is ever focused on his mission to save sinners. Flint was a very, very hard rock in that day. It was in homes in that day. It was in workshops. Everybody knew what flint was, a very, very hard rock. And so Christ, when it says his face is like this hard rock, it's determination. It's focus. You see, Jesus, I would say, has a soft heart. Wouldn't you say so? He has a very, very soft heart, compassionate, merciful. His heart bleeds for us. A soft heart. But Jesus, I suggest, has a hard head. He's stubborn in a good way. He's hard-headed in a good way. He's stubborn in that he will save people. He will deliver people from all of hell. He is bent on that. That's his mission, his focus. And it's still that way today. You know, we come here, and we may have a whole lot of purposes for being here. Christ has one purpose, one focus. He is hard-headed about it. And his focus when you gather in his house is to do what? To wash you. It's called absolution, a renewal of your baptism. To teach you his word. It's teaching. You listen, and to feed you with his body and blood. to forgive you, to strengthen you, and give you peace. You may want other stuff from Jesus. I realize that. He is hard-headed about what he wants to give you, which is what you need. The forgiveness of your sins and the strength of God to face life, that you live forever and conquer all of hell. We love our choices here in America. I want that, I want that, I want that. I want to go there, I want to go there. Here, there's no choice because it's God's house. God does the choosing, and God is hard-faced, set like flint to forgive you. If you want something else, try McDonald's, try Burger King, try somewhere else. God's word, God's sacrament, he's hard-headed about it, stubborn about it. So come and receive the forgiveness of God. It's what you need all the time. I saw a cartoon for Charlie Brown. I love reading Peanuts, and caught my eye this week. In the first box, he's sitting at a desk, and it says, "My English essay." And the essay question is, "What did you do over summer break?" Second box, Charlie Brown's busy writing. And he writes, "I went on vacation and went to camp." 8 words. Third box, he is counting the number of words in his essay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. "I went on vacation and went to camp." 8 words. The fourth and final box, he's like this. Hands on his head. He says, 992 words to go. He had a 1,000-word essay. Do you think Charlie Brown made it? I don't think so. I think he quit. And we live in a society of quitters. How many of you have quit on Vol football for 2012? Come on. Don't quit. They're going to win next week. We quit our jobs. We quit our team. We quit the coach. We quit the church. We quit our family. We quit our marriage. I'm just going to quit. A world of quitters. Praise be to Jesus, he doesn't quit. Face like flint, he's hardened. He is set to go to the cross, and no one will stop him. He's going to die for our sins. He will not be stopped. He's going to rise again. He will not be stopped. He's going to give you faith and keep you in the faith till you get to heaven, and no one's going to stop him. When he cries out on the cross, what's he cry? His final words, "It is finished." Maybe there he kind of softened his face a little bit because it was done. He did the job. Secondly, when he says he sets his face like flint, he is talking about a fight so that he can carry out his mission of saving us. Flint, back in that day, was a very hard rock, as mentioned, and it was used to break things. It would shatter things, break things, smash things. That's one way they usually get some trash or something you didn't want, just break it up and throw it away. So when he says his face is set like flint, like a hard, hard rock, he is saying, "I've come to fight and smash something and break something and destroy something." One thing he wants to break and destroy in us is this evil pride we have in our hearts, which thinks I can save myself. He wants to break that up all the time. That's why we have confession and absolution all the time, to break that pride. But above all, he's come to shatter and break and smash what? All of hell. The demons and all of hell and our sin. Christ is not some weakling, you see. He's not some passive weakling who just kind of walks around. He is a warrior, hard-headed, the rock who's come to smash evil, and he goes right after it. Look at your gospel lesson. You got this boy who's mute because of this demon foaming at the mouth, grinding his teeth. We don't run away. Oh my goodness, what's going on here? Get a doctor, get somebody. Christ goes right there. How long has he been like this from childhood? How long are you going to bear with you people? He says, "I'm going to drive out the demon. How long am I going to bear with you people?" He's come to defeat evil. If only we would believe. That's what he wants to bear with. Are we going to ever believe in him and trust in him? And he says a few words and the demon departs. The disciples can't cast out the demon. The Pharisees can't cast out the demon. The Father can't cast out the demon. No one can cast out the demon. Only the one-man army, who is Jesus. Jesus came not just to contain evil. Okay, evil will contain you over here. He doesn't come to put a dent in the evil, to wound evil a little bit. He comes to smash it and destroy it as this mighty rock, that the goodness of God reign forever, and it'll be that way in heaven. As a little boy, my dad sometimes would say, "Paulie, come here." And he would say, "Punch your daddy in the stomach." My dad was like me, liked to wrestle around some. "I don't want to punch you, daddy." "Yeah, come on, come on, give dad a good pop." And what would dad do? He'd giggle. "Come on, Paulie, hit me harder than that. Punch him a little harder." He would giggle again. "Oh, are you a little weakling, Paulie? Come on, punch your daddy." And I'd wind up punching him hard. And what would he do? He'd laugh. And what would I do? "Ouch, ouch." I was doing the hitting, but who's the one that got hurt? I did. My dad had a big stomach, pretty hard stomach. It didn't hurt him at all. I did the hitting, but I'm the one that got hurt. This is the cross. All of hell is doing the hitting. All of hell is attacking the rock in various ways. But who's the one that really gets smashed and broken? All of hell. "For he is risen. He is risen indeed." Hallelujah. Thirdly, when he says, "I've set my face like flint," he's talking about this great fire he will create. Flint, one of its main uses back then was to create fire. They didn't have lighters, believe it or not. They didn't have matches. So they had this big hard rock there in their home, and they would use a piece of metal or another rock to knock it to try to create a spark. Get a fire going so you could cook. It was a common way. You would strike the flint with metal or rock and try to create a fire, a spark. And this, to me, is a beautiful picture of the work of Jesus in his suffering and death. Christ, as he suffers and dies, is struck. He's the hard rock who is struck. His face is struck. His whole body is struck. They hit him with their fists, the Bible says. They spit on him. They whip his back. A crown of thorns on his head. Nails in his hands. Nails in his feet. A spear in his side. He is struck and struck. The hard rock is struck. And yes, that causes pain. It causes agony. It causes torture. It causes his blood to flow for our salvation. All that is true, but also a great fire rages. A great fire he creates that's still raging today. A fire of forgiveness. A fire of God's love. That all gets sparked at the cross as he is struck. No one saw the fire. If you were there, you saw a guy bleeding and dying. But believe you me, there the spark of God's grace, the fire of salvation, the fire of the Holy Spirit was coming forth. At Pentecost had to come. Fire. Where'd that fire come from? Magic? That fire came from Jesus at the cross when he was struck, when he died for you and I. That's where the spark occurred. That's where the fire is created. On the heads of the disciples, that fire is with us, and may we spread that fire to the ends of the earth. In this little phrase, we have the whole mission of the church. I have set my face like flint. I'm going to create a big, big fire when I am struck. And you're to take that fire to your neighbor. We don't like forest fires, but we like forgiveness fires. We need a great forgiveness fire in the church, a forgiveness fire in the world as we spread the good news of Jesus. That's what we all need, folks. I read where the IRS rewarded a man recently. You know how much the IRS, you want to know why we're in debt, this might be one of our reasons. Although I don't know if they had anything to do with the debt anyway. The IRS rewarded a man, his name was Brad Birkenfeld. You know what they gave him as a reward? $104 million. Guess what he did? He blew the whistle on some people. I guess he blew the whistle on thousands of Americans who are dodging taxes, putting their money over in Swiss banks and wherever else. He blew the whistle on the banks and all these Americans. And they rewarded him $104 million to be a whistleblower, to rat on people. Pay your taxes, I guess, is the idea. You better pay them. We'll reward people $104 million if you don't pay your taxes. We are not here to be a whistleblower. Take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of somebody else's eye. We're not really here to go around picking on each other, ratting on each other. There's a time for rebuke, I understand. We are here, I suggest, to be wind blowers. With our tongues to blow out the wind of the Spirit. To speak the words of the gospel. You can use your tongue for gossip and create a bad fire in the church. You can use your tongue for the gospel and create a good fire. Be a wind blower. May the Spirit, the great wind, come out of your mouth, sharing the words of Christ, sharing His death, His resurrection, grace, salvation. Who can you tell today? How are you going to use this tongue? That's from James 3. Watch your tongue. Use your tongue to witness and to worship. How did Jesus look? Well, no doubt a loving face, a compassionate face, smiling face, concerned face. He has a face like flint, focused, determined, ready to fight, creating a fire of God's grace for you and I and for all people. Praise be to Jesus for His wonderful face like flint. What a verse. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.